Yes, the 29th episode of Restart. We are at your service, dear esteemed listeners. When they were throwing Abraham into the middle of the fire, Abraham kept shouting, "I am the Mahdi, I am the Hadi, I am the Messiah, I am the perfect human." And the people and the clergy and the government shouted, "Don't lie, don't lie, don't lie. We know he is supposed to come later. From up there a dove will come, a single girl will come." When they were sawing Zechariah in half inside a tree, Zechariah was screaming, "Sir, I am the Mahdi, I am the Hadi, I am the Imam Zaman, don't kill me, man, I am the Messiah, I am the Messiah." And the people were shouting, "Don't lie, you think we're donkeys? We know from up there a dove will come, a single girl will come." And when they were nailing the hands of Jesus to the cross, Jesus was screaming, "Sir, I am the Mahdi, I am the Hadi, I am the Messiah, I am the Imam Zaman, I am the Messiah." And the people were shouting, "Acho, don't lie once, from up there a dove will come, a single girl will come." When they were killing Halaj, Halaj was screaming, "Sir, Sufism exists, the perfect human exists, the Mahdi exists, the Hadi exists, the Messiah exists." And the people were shouting, "Duh, don't lie, from up there a dove will come, a single girl will come." And people are still always waiting for a dove to come from up there, for a single girl to come. And there is no one to ask these people, okay, let's assume he is supposed to come later or in the media, no. Welcome to 29, welcome to Restart, welcome. The woman, symbol of the perfect human. Today, without any introduction, we are going to talk about women, a special creature, a beautiful creature whose life has been made miserable throughout history, a creature that all religions tried to destroy, a creature that rabbis would put a cloth over to kiss her, and when she got sick, they would leave her in a room like a dog, a creature that all religions see as a commodity, and governments have taken advantage of this. What is this creature? The woman. Who is she? Have we understood women? Does it not program meaning? If we want to explain woman, why are we even explaining woman? Why do we need to explain woman at all? Because until we understand the woman, we cannot understand the perfect human, because the woman is a symbol of the perfect human. For thousands of years, women's rights have been violated. Now, what's the problem with this? Why should we do this? What has happened to this creature throughout history? What do we even understand about the gene? Dear esteemed listeners, please pay attention to Radio Pasto. My major in high school was math and physics. I only studied fourth year biology, I read half of geology, and I never read Darwin's theory at all, but I know it completely. It's very interesting, and I really haven't read anything about genes and genetics and these things. I only read one book when I was 19 or 20, and in that book, everything Darwin wanted to understand, I understood in that book. Everything that Mr. Mendel said, I understood in there. I understood all of genetics and woman in there, so that's a story. Now, Darwin, I think, God willing, we'll get to his part next week, Mr. Charles Darwin, and England's foot will be dragged into this as well. And you should know that if we can, we'll explain it this week, but there are very important points you need to know. Mr. Hosseini, for God's sake, where did you learn all this? First of all, genetics is something that everyone has known for 4,000 years, meaning every science in genetics that exists now, everything about women, they knew 4,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, the people of Sufism and Gnosis, and because stability and science, meaning these inventions, come out of Sufism. Let me explain this first. Then, because we have to go one by one, I don't know, maybe we have to talk about women for 2, 3, 4 programs. We'll go as far as we can, and let me tell you, they knew 700 years ago, 1,000 years ago, whatever genetics is just now. Right now, I know something that I want to tell you that I think 320 years from now. I mean, me, Hosseini, whose field isn't genetics, who's only read one book, has stolen an idea from that book that I can now publish under my own name, and this book would sell millions of copies. But the people of Sufism have already said it. The people of Sufism are a group that has produced scientists, and the religious are a group who, with the people and governments, tried with all their might to prevent the people of Sufism from releasing this science, from letting knowledge out. And this is the very secret that prevented the world from going to Mars 2,000 years ago. It didn't let it. If you're riding in cars instead of on a donkey's back, just go and kiss the hands of Sufism. Go and enjoy the fact that these people killed themselves to be able to release this information, and it didn't happen. The theft of knowledge. As an example, a very simple matter for you to understand is this. Mr. Darwin, 200 years ago, right, let's start from here to explain women to see what we want to tell them. Mr. Darwin published a book 200 years ago called The Theory of Darwin. Now, first of all, the theory isn't Darwin's. Mr. Darwin stole this theory, just like I can now steal from Rumi and Sa'di and Hafez and from Socrates and Plato and these guys and publish it under my own name. It's possible. Now, why did Darwin do these things? Because when the British and the Russians came to Iran, the first thing they did, I wish they had taken your oil. I wish they had taken this oil rig. No, the books of the people of Sufism, the Iranian scientists, it's really an insult to call a Sufi who revolves around the perfect human, meaning the Sufis who are around the perfect human, to call them scientists. But they took these books out and published them and didn't let, well, they didn't put it on display in the museum so that Iranians wouldn't get their hands on it. Now, as you can see, a lot of things are censored and all. They did this for themselves. And I wish they had taken our oil, I wish they had taken our money. It wasn't like that. They took everything of ours for themselves. And now, this Safi and Makarem and Ahmad, whatever Mendel says is from Sufism, someone had raised an issue that, Mr. Hosseini, excuse me, does Sufism accept Darwin's theory? I said, Darwin accepts the theory of Sufism, not the other way around. Now, these are related, I want to explain, because I want to get into the gene, into the chromosome, into the woman's body. Why is the woman similar to the perfect human? What about her is similar to the perfect human? The moment you read in your religion, in your religious books, that God breathed into man, where did he breathe, you idiot? Now the woman, when the baby comes, is breathed into its six corners, meaning, is the woman's womb connected to God? Is the womb of all women in the world connected to God, meaning God breathed through this womb? From which hole did he breathe? It's important. You can only understand the subject when you are in the place of a chromosome. You go in there to see what's up and you know nothing at all. For you to know that we know nothing, it's enough to know that the genes we currently have in our own bodies, I mean, the difference between you and me and a mouse is that 90% of the genes in me and in the mouse are similar. We have a 10% difference. It became a mouse. We became human. Dear listener, right now, scientists don't know what 95% of the genes that exist in Hosseini are made for. Do you know what it's like? It's like that 5% has resulted in me walking this way, having hands, legs, and so on. It's like a plane that humans build. It goes in water, goes in the sea, goes to Mars, comes into the air screaming, dances, levitates, does all these things, and then I turn to its pilot and say, "Oh, pilot, how advanced this plane is. What other things can it do?" And the pilot says, "Excuse me, I only 5% of it." Humanity, these idiots, still know nothing about woman gene chromosome. And if they have this little bit, it's from Sufism. Now, whoever's name it's under, although I have a theory, a view that Darwin said that he stole this material, but it hasn't been mentioned throughout history, like that ridiculous comedic line where they say, "Mr. Darwin said we are descendants of monkeys." Darwin never said that sentence. The church said that. Now you see these priests, everything, they've gone and sat in a corner. We Sufis, these guys screwed each other over for 2,000 years. They blocked our scientific structure. They ruined humanity's life. They raped my wife and child and yours. Now they've gone and sat in a corner like a goat. They can't do anything anymore. That time when that dishonorable Ptolemy and Aristotle came and said everything revolves around the moon, we, the earth, is this and that. And hand in hand, the philosophers of that era, all those philosophers loved Ptolemy and Aristotle. That same son of a bitch Ptolemy, that same son of a bitch Aristotle, joined hands with the churches so that knowledge would not advance. Now, what do I want to tell you? Know this. 700 years ago, a book came out that you don't even know. You don't know who its scientist is. You don't know who its professor is. You don't know who its philosopher is. You don't know who this person is. You don't know who this person of Sufism is. You don't know why Iranian society doesn't let a name come out. You don't know. And very ideally, Goethe, God bless his father, says, "I am in love with Hafez. His love is the soul of Hafez." He says, "Sir, I am a disciple of Hafez." Goethe: "Mr. Darwin, whether you said it or not, I don't care, but Mr. Darwin put out his theory based on this book from 700 and something years ago." The science of botany, the father of botany, meaning Mendel, or as they say, Mendel, Mr. Mendel, or Mendel, as you say, because I don't remember, Mr. Mendel or Mr. Mendel, the science of botany, the church came and grabbed him by the collar, gave him hell, said, "How are you grafting an apple tree to such and such? This is a bastard child, don't do this," meaning they stopped this man's scientific work. He pulled all his material from this 700-year-old book. And an Iranian that you don't know named Azizuddin Nasafi, the program that is dedicated to you called The Perfect Human, he wrote several books in Persian. One of them is The Perfect Human, which I suggest you don't read because it's forbidden and you won't be able to understand what it says anyway. The Perfect Human is explained in there, which I will tell you about later, but he has another book called The Discovery of Truths. In the book The Discovery of Truths, he writes in his introduction that I was supposed to release 10 parts. I wish I could find his sentence. Then he says, "Everything in the universe that someone must know, everything that a person must know and be able to say and write, only one person can, and that is the perfect human. Everything that this perfect human knows, he can only say one thing because people don't understand. What the perfect human can say, he can only write one thing, and still people don't understand." He wrote it at the beginning of his book, he says, on the order of Sufism. He himself wrote in his book, "On the order of Sufism, that is the perfect human," he told me, "please, your book, The Discovery of Truths, that you are going to release, which is 10 parts, number one, you will not release 3 parts of it." He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "These 3 parts will not be released. Do you want people to progress?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Don't release it. Release the other 3 or 4 parts gently. The other 3 parts, 7, for example, you can release in 24 years. You can't release them now." He wrote it himself, in his own handwriting. There, he explains the movement of the chromosome towards the woman's body so beautifully that it's as if he was writing the chromosome. Like the nerve of a chromosome, he gives it like its nerve. He has written it, gone into the woman, just spun around, and seen everything up close. He, in the book, The Discovery of Truths, also explains another point. He explains the entire theory of Darwin, meaning he says what has happened. In his book, in this very book, The Discovery of Truths, he has written that the universe is one breath, a partial soul. The partial soul has an interpretation that we must later explain in the views of Attar and others, meaning a being within the perfect human is the partial soul. Now, we don't care that it's also outside, like a perfect human who is both inside you and outside. He says that the partial soul of nature was created a few million billion years ago. He explains the Genesis beautifully. Then millions of years passed, the earth was created. Now I'll explain the rest briefly. Then a plant was created that had no seeds, meaning it had pollen. He has seen this Genesis from the beginning. Then the tree came into being. Then the animal came into being. He even explains the wakwak tree among the trees, that wakwak belongs to that tree. Then the animal came into being. Then the earthworm, meaning the earthworm, came into being. All scientists agree that the first creature was the earthworm. After that, insects and mosquitoes and flies came into being. Then the animal started talking. So until then, it couldn't talk. The speaking animal came into being. Then the nasnas, and meaning the orangutan and so on, the elephant and the monkey came into being. Then a human came into being in Africa called the Zangian. So the first human that came into being a few million years ago, its name was the Zangian human. Mr. Darwin read his book exactly and gave out the complete theory of Darwin that, sir, from... Now, where did Darwin figure it out? From the beak of the finch. What is this finch? Birds, finches. He understood from the finch's beak, because Darwin's story is also that his dad hated the way he looked and kicked him out. He went traveling, went around the world. When he came back, he understood from the beaks of these animals, and he read these books and understood and put out the theory of Darwin. So the theory of Darwin is derived from Azizuddin Nasafi, inside the womb, the first universe. Let's go inside the woman. several questions exist. First, the chromosome. There are genes on it. First of all, our body has several trillion cells, dear listener, of which several thousand are cleared away daily, coming out like grime. A creature called a woman, there is a place in her called paradise, meaning there's a place full of water, and the baby goes in there. Now, how does it go? It's very interesting. I mean, the chromosomes, several hundred thousand chromosomes enter the woman's body. During the time of Ptolemy and the like, in order to ruin the woman's life and introduce her to society as filth, Ptolemy and Aristotle and others had come and said that all childbearing is from the man, and the woman is nothing more than a farm. This isn't from Islam, dear listener. You stick it to Islam. Back then they said the woman is a farm, meaning she's nothing. Then he even drew a picture of it, meaning a chromosome. He drew a picture, drew a sperm. Then this baby is in the head of the chromosome, which looks like what? Like a dogfish. A chromosome looks like a dogfish. It has a round, oval-shaped head and a small tail. The dogfish that went in the water looks like that. He drew the baby's picture up there, meaning he said the baby is all... It's not like that. Well, these things were said 700 years ago, and you only reach this science 500 years later. Now, if it had come out 500 years ago, 700 years ago, 1200 years ago, what would you have done? Now, what do they say? They say men have X and Y from their 46 chromosomes, which women also have. Men have X and Y, meaning the man determines the sex, male or female, in the mother's womb, but they don't say this point, that the woman chooses whether it's a boy or a girl. It's true that X and Y exist in the man, but until the woman gives the code to that X and Y, or to the X or to the Y, it cannot enter. Meaning, the woman is the determiner of whether her child is a girl or a boy, not the man. This is also a point that genetics has not yet mentioned. The chromosomes enter the woman's body like a leech. Rumi says, like the earth and like the fetus, I am a blood drinker. Rumi says, so that I may drink, this has become my work. So all babies are blood drinkers. Every human on planet Earth is a blood drinker. Meaning, first it eats from blood. The chromosome enters, now it goes into the vagina. I have nothing to do with that. It sticks there, it bites into the mother's womb, which then attaches there as the navel and so on. It begins to grow. Initially, a blood clot. In the book I read when I was 20, it said something there that scientists still haven't mentioned the fourth part of. It explains clearly there that the zygote is divided into four parts. The top left of the zygote goes to create for making hair, and let me tell you, and the heart and skin. Okay? What does that mean? It means the chromosome, the man's chromosome, enters the vagina. The ovary releases something, it releases a cell. The man's cap breaks into pieces, a cell comes out. When these mix in less than a second, dear listener, in absolute darkness, the first Big Bang happens. So the Big Bang is in the mother's womb, not in the womb. It's not in the father. So the Big Bang starts from here. Understand exactly how similar it is. I want to explain, so you know. So when these two chromosomes mix, they explode. One cell becomes two cells. Meaning one refrigerator becomes two refrigerators become four refrigerators. They start making copies of each other. But what's strange is that they start making millions of cells in the zygote. Now here, the zygote enters the next stage. Meaning what? It's divided into four parts. The top part, now I might say it out of order, well it's from 20 years ago, 25 years ago that I read it, maybe the mistake is for the bottom part. The top left goes to make skin. Look, a cell that is like the one before it is making two... think about making a copy of Hosseini that looks like Hosseini, and then it pulls your mom out of it. It's strange, for example. Meaning one cell, through mitosis and meiosis, the divisions that occur, one cell becomes, for example, 25 billion cells. The top right cell goes to make the heart and skin and hair. The bottom left's job is to make the kidneys and intestines and so on. The top right goes towards making hands and feet and bones and muscles, meaning it produces a cell similar to itself, but it's not similar to itself. Now, in that book, it is written that the bottom part, meaning he has divided the zygote into four parts. Scientists know about three of them, one zygote and another one at the bottom. It's saying the fourth part of the zygote, do you know what its job is? Its job is to go for the faculties of illusion, imagination, analogy, and conjecture. meaning its job is to go into the spiritual spaces of that child and start producing. Look what's happening in there. I mean, you look at what's happening inside a woman's womb. What a chaos in there. This great chaos, enormous movements of cells that come into being in the woman's body, they start being built one by one. The perfect human, when you see Sufism, it does the same thing to you. See, a chromosome enters the woman's body. This chromosome starts to evolve to produce a baby. The rest of the work is being done in the woman's womb. And on the second day, the lady says, "Oh my, I want my baby to come out." They say, "It can't come out. It's a baby, my dear. It takes time to come out." Then she says again, "Now I want my baby to come out." He says, "No, not now. It's been 20 days. Then it doesn't come. It takes time to come out." The work of the perfect human is the same way. I gave this example for you to know. Meaning, when you see the perfect human, he plants a chromosome in your heart. It happens right then. They say he plants a seed in your heart. The thing I said in the previous program. Meaning this chromosome, this seed, goes into you. You're pregnant. You've become pregnant. You yourself, whether you're a man or a woman, you understand. Slowly you see. Hey, I understand gnosis. Hey, 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 I get the subject. Hey, 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 this guy is lying. Hey, hey, hey. So in every era, a saint is present. Hey, hey, what is he saying? Hey. And you reach a degree where this 9-month, 7-month old baby can come out and become Hafez and Sadi and Rumi, come out at 9 months, become Attar and so. I'm giving an example. Now we can't say who is higher and who is lower. So the work of the perfect human is also this, meaning he plants this seed. Now for its irrigation, this seed of faith also starts from here, meaning the religious law is that chromosome, the path is the path of the chromosome in the mother's womb, meaning these cellular divisions happen. The truth is when what? The spirit is breathed into it. In reality, the truth begins. Meaning we see this same level of childbearing. That's why the prophet, we must know about women, we see this level of childbearing in the mother. But there are more important secrets in the mother that we don't know. Number one, the mother's womb is connected to a being, a UFO. The mother's body, her womb, is connected to a being. Where is the spirit breathed into it from? What is this mother's womb that the spirit is breathed into? Where does the spirit come from in the mother? How does the baby stir, move? The babies who are in paradise in their mother's womb, you know that at 6 months its lungs start working. Meaning until 6 months the baby thought the world was just that water around it. It's spinning and eating, connected to the mother's navel. It's eating and it's also going to the bathroom right there. It eats, it lives its life. But at 6 months first its ear starts working, then its eye. Meaning its ear moves, it hears, and then its eye starts working. Its body is now complete. Now, one more month. How does this baby come into being? Here it shows that the mother is the perfect human. The story, I remembered a story about Owais al-Qarani. Look, in Sufism, insulting the mother is unforgivable, meaning they say for respect, first mother, second mother, third mother, fourth mother, fifth mother, sixth mother, seventh mother, eighth father, ninth father, tenth father, then from here your aunt and grandmother and so on. Mother, mother, mother. And yet the world in all its thoughts in these few thousand years hasn't come to explain the anatomy of the mother, that so what do these mothers produce in their wombs? What hardship are they enduring? Does the mother have a connection to the perfect human or not? Let's see if she does. Meaning until the mother becomes pregnant, the child understands nothing from her. The perfect humans came out of their mother's womb. They were born without a father, but they cannot be born without a mother. Let me read Rumi's poem for you to finish this program so we can move on to the next part of the program. He says, "I died from minerality and became a plant. From plant life I died and lifted my head as an animal. I died from animality and became a human. So why should I fear? When did I ever become less by dying?" He says beautifully, "First it's mineral, then it becomes a plant, then an animal appears, the animal becomes human, and after that, another attack, and I shall die from humanity to raise wings and a crown among the angels. And from the river of angels I must also leap, Everything perishes except his face. Once more I will be sacrificed from angelhood. I shall become that which cannot be imagined. Then I shall become non-existent. Non-existence, like an organ, says to me, to him we shall return. Mr. Rumi is explaining a very strange cycle here, and it's clear, as I said, let this be its proof, so you know that he also knows all this from that Nasafi, which Darwin then published 500-700 years later. The story of Owais al-Qarani, it's not bad to tell this either, because it came to my heart to say it. Owais al-Qarani was a child from Quran. They say Owais never saw Muhammad ibn Abdullah, meaning Owais never saw Muhammad from his childhood, and when he grew up, he didn't see him either. When Muhammad ibn Abdullah was alive, he didn't see him, and when Muhammad ibn Abdullah became a prophet, he still didn't see him. He was right there. What was his problem? His problem was that he had an old mother, and his mother absolutely did not want her son to be separated from her. She was also paralyzed. He had to take care of his mother. He cried a lot to his mother, "Sir, let me go see Muhammad." They say throughout history, his mother allowed Owais once to go for 2 days, for example, 3 days, to see Muhammad ibn Abdullah and come back. And his bad luck is that when he enters the city in a hurry, they say, "Where is Muhammad ibn Abdullah?" They say, "He's at war, for example, Uhud." Now, where it was, I don't know exactly. Did you get it? It becomes a very important point in Owais's story, very important points. And then they say, "Wait, he'll be back in 3 or 4 days." He says, "No, I can't return, I can't stay." And then he gets on his horse again and goes back. And then they say, "Muhammad came with his companions and said, 'Assalamu'alaikum, the scent of Owais is coming. In Yemen, you are with me. You are with me in Yemen.'" And this refers to Owais al-Qarani. He couldn't see Muhammad ibn Abdullah until his last moment. It's interesting to note that when Muhammad ibn Abdullah passed away, 2 days later, 5 days later, his mom passed away. If she had passed away 10 days earlier, he would have seen Muhammad. Then the point in this is that he was dying to see Muhammad, but out of respect for his mother, and I say this to all the boys who are listening, who are hearing, for the love of his mother, and by the grace of his mother, and out of respect for his mother, he did not take that path. Meaning between seeing Muhammad ibn Abdullah and his mother, he chose his mother. Now this story is so that you understand the atmosphere you are in. Meaning, what is the role of the mother in this space? Mr. Rumi has a poem about this same evolution that I wanted to read for you. But let me tell you, let's go see what happens to the baby in the womb first and get the conclusion. The womb's black hole and the creator woman. The babies that... First of all, the genes that exist on the chromosomes of the man and woman, there are a few other things in there too. What does that mean? It means we have genes in our bodies that we don't recognize. Meaning if your eye goes blind, your body won't fix your eye. But if scientists can discover these genes, because the job of these genes is to produce the eye, ear, nose, mouth, meaning if someone's hand is cut off, they can do something to activate these embryonic genes that 95% they didn't recognize becomes active. And a hand is produced. Like a lizard, you see now a lizard grows a tail. Why do lizards, if their tail is cut off, grow a new tail? Because that gene is active. Its tail-making gene that wants to pick up the signals is active in it. This has not yet been discovered by scientists, and they can't do this, and they can't do anything to make our genes move and for us to have hands and feet and eyes and many other things. In the genetic perspective, as I mentioned, Mr. Aziz Nasafi explains beautifully that afterwards this child becomes a zygote. Then when it becomes a zygote, it connects. The baby slowly grows. When does it grow? First its head is made, meaning first its intellect is made. First, Gabriel, its intellect is made, meaning first its reason is made. Then slowly this head, and then hands and feet come out. And then, let me tell you, this baby is still developing, meaning it has hands. Now slowly there are feet. The hands are webbed between them, like a fish's hand, like a duck's. What? These hands that, like this. The ears are the same way. Everything is closed. In a fraction of a second, millions and millions of cells at once, and we still don't know why. At once the command comes, "Commit suicide," and they die. And the space between the fingers opens up. The space between the toes opens up. Then let me tell you, the eyelids open, the ears open. It's really very interesting, dear listener. The production of a chromosome in the mother's womb is like after the Big Bang. But the difference is that until 6 months, 2 Big Bangs happen in the mother's womb. If we want to understand the external universe, it is enough to understand the mother's womb. Its 3rd Big Bang happens after 35 days after the 6-month mark. The baby is complete. Now another big bang happens that we don't know what it is. Each chromosome also has 3 billion base pairs on it. There are proteins, and now there are things that produce the heart and ear and eye and nose and mouth and other issues that are in it. Okay, but the point I wanted to make from the perspective of Sufism, the woman is the man's trainer. This is a very important point. Do you know what a trainer means? It means a trainer is someone, a university professor who has come to teach you. You're not supposed to kiss him. You keep... Now, this teacher, this person who teaches you how to drive, this person who comes to teach you lessons, have you kissed all your teachers? You have no right to kiss your teacher at all. In Sufism, they call the woman a trainer, meaning the man is raised under the woman's supervision, meaning his trainer is his wife, his mom. Meaning if now you see you can also kiss her, she's doing you a favor. The trainer who teaches you driving, taught you the car, taught you food, taught you a system. Now what do? You let me tell you, you kiss her too. That's why in all perspectives they said a woman, if she wants to breastfeed her child, you have to pay her. A woman in the house can choose not to work. Meaning they gave the man force, gave the man a body to go out and work to be the servant of the lady. And for this reason, ladies at home legally can, let me tell you, not work, not cook. They cannot do everything. The perspective is this, she is your trainer, meaning the worst woman. They even say it's famous, the wife of Sheikh Kharkan, famous as Sheikh Kharkan's wife. They said someone had come to see Sheikh Kharkan. He went and knocked on the door. Sheikh Kharkan's wife came out, said, "Ya ken yes." He said, "I want to see Mr. Kharkan, to see Sheikh Kharkan." She said, "That son of a bitch." She started cursing. The man said, "Ma'am, why are you swearing? Just tell me where he is so I can see him." "I don't know, in the middle of those woods. Go there." Then this man got up and went into the forest and saw that Sheikh Kharkan was sitting on a lion with another lion on top carrying firewood, and he was going. He came to him and said, "Mr. Sheikh Kharkan," he said, "Yes?" He said, "Sir, excuse me, with all the status you have and all, I went to your house. Your wife was swearing yesterday." He said, "And everything I have is thanks to that woman." Meaning respect for woman and the character of the mother. Respect for this type of thinking, respect for these things is very important. Meaning the man's trainer in Sufism is the woman. And if there is no woman, a man cannot progress intellectually. He can't. The worst woman is the best trainer for humanity, for man. Conclusion. The placenta in the mother's womb. The human body, when the chromosome enters, a baby is produced and a placenta. The placenta is this baby's. It gives food to this baby, sustenance to this baby. There are 5 stem cells in that too. There are another 5 stem cells behind men's backs that exist. This is for men, for survival. If you look at this subject well, you see that the story of religions is a bit of a dream. Meaning what? Meaning that the genetics in the mother's womb, the zygote that is cultivated in the mother's womb until it becomes a human who might later come out and reach perfection, become a perfect human or something else. It's all happening in a half-by-half womb until the baby reaches a time when it comes out of the womb to see another world. Meaning when twins are in the mother's womb, the mother's physical force makes it so that their fingerprints are different from each other. Meaning even with twins, one baby's fingerprint is similar and the other's isn't. Again, they all came from one cell, listener, from one cell that from the man's and woman's chromosome, now 46 from this one, 46 from that one. They combined, their genes combined, the genes of my generation behind me, the genes of my wife's generation behind my wife. These combine, they produce a new being that is not at all like the previous genes. It's not like anything else at all. Something new is made. Now here, if there are even twins in her womb, the magnetic forces and the field of the black holes present in the woman try to make it so that the twins have 2 different fingerprints. They are brothers together, sister and brother, but their prints are different. Where are the black holes in that woman really? Where is this womb really connected to? That spirit is breathed into it. What does a woman really do that 3 big bangs happen in her body without her or us understanding? Can the entire genesis of the universe after the Big Bang be found in those first 25 days in the mother's womb? Isn't the woman's magnetic field the thing that chooses a chromosome that it has already chosen beforehand? Doesn't the woman in reality try to find a husband? That's why they say the man always proposes. Doesn't the woman find a husband so that from behind this husband she can bring the child that was already in her imagination into the world? Is it the mother's womb that is pulling the baby out of that man's chromosome, meaning the choice of the baby, the pull of the baby, the creation of the baby, the finding of the path for the baby, the choice of the baby being a boy or a girl? It's all in the mother's hands, not the father's. The father only has it in his back, whether it's a boy or a girl. The mother chooses. What black hole is this? Where in the woman's body is the womb that it can force the universe to die from minerality, become a plant, and come into her womb and pass through animality, and turn a ridiculous blood clot into a human who then comes out and becomes Maulana Jalaluddin Muhammad Balkhi of Khorasan? These are questions that will be presented to you in future programs as well, gradually, of course. Remember, I'm not interpreting Rumi and such here. All these hundreds of thousands of people, 500,000 people, are talking about Rumi and Sadi and so on, and we are also giving our own opinion about them. Now, they have told you some things from Sadi and Rumi that maybe you didn't understand. I am also saying things that I have understood myself. I am saying the parts that they haven't told you, and there is really no message or goal in it. Anyway, Azizuddin Nasafi published all this work on genetics and Mendel and so on 700 years ago, and now his grave is in Abarku. Abarku, I think, I haven't been to Yazd, I don't know. A house of his has fallen there. Neither you know who this man is, nor do you know what he said. Every piece of knowledge that Darwin and Mendel and other friends, even foreigners knew them, foreign scientists, everyone knew Azizuddin Nasafi. And his grave is just lying there, like Sheikh Karkan's, like many others. The holy shrine is in Sa'di. The holy shrine is in Hafez. The holy shrine is in this same Mr. Azizuddin Nasafi, who published so many hefty books for our knowledge to increase. And unfortunately, over these 600 years, they came and attacked us, took our books for themselves, gave them out to their own scientists, published them under their own names. These were very important points that now, if possible, God willing, anyway, the creation of the baby and the coming of the baby, being a boy or a girl, these are in the hands of women, in the hands of ladies. And gentlemen, now I still haven't talked about love, haven't talked about the affection of a woman, haven't talked about the moment that illusion and these things enter the body of the baby boy, haven't talked about the affections and loves and the love of a perfect human, which we will talk about later in the next program. Thanks for listening. Many people are promoting. If we reach 250,000 listeners in on Telegram for one of our audios, the restarts, if we reach 250,000, we will tell you the secret again. And with 500,000, we will move to 2 programs a day. Make an effort, and thank you very much to everyone who is promoting. Goodbye until next week, episode 30.